Welcome to Amateur Opinions. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a new week, new episode. You know the drill. Easy, how you doing, bro?
Deuce, what's happening? Can't complain. I'm good.
I'm doing all right, thanks.
Yeah, likewise. We're in level one of lockdown, so things are easing up in the country, for sure. I think international travel starting on the 1st of October, so yeah, things are looking up.
Nice. So I can actually start coming back now.
You can.
If I want to. Yeah. Nice.
So that's cool.
So, yeah. Nothing much. I watched the documentary you recommended that I watch.
The Social Dilemma.
The Social Dilemma, yeah.
Yes. Thoughts before? Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
just like tell the people what it's about.
Okay, I'll do that. So basically, it's a documentary about a bunch of former engineers from big Silicon Valley companies, and they just talk about how social media platforms are made to be addictive. Actually, all platforms, not just social media platforms. That's essentially it. Some of the inner workings of what they do to make them not only more addictive, but also to monetize them. And I think the two went hand in hand because in order to monetize, they had to make them a little bit more addictive. So it just deep dives into that and some of the side effects and the implications that it has on society. So that's what it's about. I urge people to go watch it. Very good watch.
Yeah. And it's on Netflix. You can catch it there. Yes, and you said it made you want to delete your apps.
It did. It did, man. Because I go through phases where I will delete Instagram off my phone and then I'll put it back and then I'll get it back again. But it made me realize like my addiction, for sure.
Mm.
I definitely feel slightly addicted to my phone. I want to say 30 minutes, like I will instinctively just reach out to check something, even if it's not that important. I think I'm not so bad when I'm around people. I think I'm okay when I'm around people, but people worse than me. But I've been around people who you will literally be at a desk and, or if there's four people in a conversation, they'll use that as an excuse to wait for the other three people to talk and then boom, they're on their phone. I'm not that bad. I tend not to do that. But I think a lot of people do. And, I've also seen it with a couple of some young people that I know and how this stuff is just gripping them, man. So it was an eye-opener for me. It made me think quite a lot about all of these things and all of these platforms and just how, how they've got you. Do you watch The Matrix? How long ago did you watch The Matrix?
It's been a while, very long.
But how much do you remember of it?
A fair amount, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
do you have a question you want to ask?
I was just gonna say it sounds very cliche, but for me, it literally feels like we're in the Matrix. That's how it made me feel. Where the idea of plugging out of this thing, people are so scared of that. The idea of it is so scary for people, you know. And when you ask them why, I don't think someone can really articulate why they would not want to be on these platforms. They might argue that it's communication, but 90% of the time it's just memes and jokes, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's what it made me think. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it was like the part where they were explaining the whole, when you scroll to the top and you kind of refresh from the top. Yes. And then something new comes up, and then something new comes up. It's like that little mechanism. If you knew that, if it was time-based like it was initially, you remember Instagram was, you know, the latest thing is what's at the top, right?
Yes, for sure.
That was how it was. So, you know, at that time, if you keep, you know, refreshing, it would be the same picture at the top, right? Which is much less addictive than knowing that if you refresh, there's going to be something new.
Yes.
Now they just show you something you haven't seen on your timeline, not necessarily exactly the most recent thing.
The latest, right?
Yeah, which was, you know, a very genius thing on their part to kind of do.
For sure.
But in terms of you asking me my thoughts, so... I mean, obviously, you know, these are things we knew already, right?
Yeah, I think we kind did. Of, I think we did.
We knew. Did not necessarily in detail or... the way it's done, or you know, the whole intentionalism of it, but we knew what the game was, right? With the whole advertising and all that addictive nature. But one thing I did realize was, remember I told you of the time in New York where my WhatsApp got hacked.
Right? I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, so what that meant for me was I didn't have WhatsApp for, must have been a week, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. And instantly, I felt much better, right? Like, I felt, I almost felt liberated in a way, right? Yes. I still had Instagram, I still had all the other things. But what I realized was the difference between WhatsApp and Instagram for me was Instagram... I'd switched off notifications. So Instagram didn't have as big a hold on me as WhatsApp did.
Because
WhatsApp
had notifications. Is this something you'd done prior to the hack?
I had done that prior to the hack, yeah. So,
okay.
You know, I because, you know, Instagram was a bit annoying in terms of just, you know, notifications that aren't really useful to me. But I'd kept the WhatsApp ones on because, you know, it's a message, right?
Sure.
It's something directly related to me. Although I had switched off group notifications, so it was just one-on-one. You know, but you know, when I didn't have WhatsApp, I realized, flip, man, like, I actually do get a lot of messages. Because now I could, you know, just be doing what I'm doing without having to getting distracted by, you know, my phone lighting up. So what I decided to do after I got my WhatsApp back, I was like, I'm going to switch off notifications and see how that goes. So I did that.
Mm-hmm. Are you still doing that now?
Yeah. The only app that has notifications for me is Slack because of work. But I switched off every other notification from every other app. You know, Twitter, all of them. So it feels much better. It's almost like I deleted it, even though that's not the case.
Yes, I still but it makes do a have huge that. Difference, right?
Oh yeah, it does. Absolutely, yeah. It still has that thing where I'll pick up the phone. If I get, you know, absent-minded or I don't have anything I'm doing, I just quickly pick up the phone, go on Instagram. So that obviously still happens.
Yes. Yes.
But at least at least I control it now.
For sure. So you were one of the enlightened ones where prior to this, you know, seeing this, you sort of tried to take control of it and what it does.
Mm-hmm. It was just annoying me. It wasn't even a self-control thing. It was just pissing me off in a way.
Sure. That happened to me with Facebook. That happened to me with Facebook where I didn't go on Facebook for a while, and I went back, and I think I saw about 120 notifications. I freaked out, and I've not gone back since. In the same way you were saying, you know, the notifications were annoying you, I think with Instagram, I'm on it too frequently to allow the notifications to build up. But, Facebook just got too much for me, Glenn. I couldn't do it. And so that sort of they pushed me out because of that. LinkedIn, I've noticed, is sending me notifications for the silliest things. I have a notification on LinkedIn every single day, and it will just be because person X shared Y. And I thought to myself, why am I getting these notifications? So I think that's a starting point for me. I think I'm going to follow suit with you. I did get rid of the Instagram app, though, for sure. I didn't delete my account, but I got rid of the app on my phone.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think I will check it when I...
I'm saying that's big time.
Yeah, I mean, I'll check it when I need to, and I'll share, obviously, you know, share the podcast and whatever. And I mean, that's one of the.
So you do that right on the computer.
I mean, even if it's getting it, downloading it, and sharing it, and then removing it once again, but being very intentional with it, you know, because the computer version sucks, which I think they also do on purpose. You know? It's not a coincidence that Instagram on your computer is just not great, because it's a lot harder for, and it annoys me, but it's a lot harder for them to get you addicted on your desktop. So they make it crap and they push you over to the phone. And then the phone is a lot more easier to grip you on because you're with it, you know, a lot more than you are on your computer. And that just feels a little bit off to me. You know, that just feels very disingenuous. I don't know what you think, but that just doesn't sit right with me at all.
So yeah, man, these companies are savage, dude.
They are. And what the documentary made me like think about was how they actually didn't start that way. That wasn't the intention, you know? But it just seems, it seems strange to me that no one is stopping and thinking like, geez, how can we stop this? Another thing that shook me from the documentary was the, they mentioned how you get a notification that says, Edwin tagged you in a photo. Why don't you get that photo in an email?
Yeah,
you know, and I guess it makes sense that. Because you can't make money by emailing me the photo that I'm in, but by taking me to your app and drawing me to your platform, you have a way in which you can advertise. But it made me think about that. It made me think with the young girls, you know, they spoke about how the Generation Z, their suicide rates are up. Preteen girls' suicide rates are up. People are getting surgery to look like their filters. It's madness, man. It's crazy. I look at my little sister. She's, you know, very young, like 7, 8. There are moments like when I visit her and I'm leaving, I literally need to yank the tablet out of her hands because she won't stop. You know,
what does she do on the tablet?
YouTube games, yeah. But it swings between those two. If it's not Angry Birds, it's YouTube, and she knows how to navigate it like crazy. She skips ads, plays the next video. She's known how to do it for like 3 years, and she's 7 now. I remember the shift where she used to be when we're leaving. She used to be very excited, and she'd come with us to the door, and you know. Say good night or whatever, but now it's kind of, I've seen that excitement dwindle, and just seen her boom on the phone. Crazy, you know. It reminded me of you know, they also spoke about magicians.
Yes.
You know, and I know that would resonate with you, but how they spoke about how magicians were the first profession who realized how the brain could be manipulated, or behavior could be manipulated or tricked. I think they called it NPR.
They say pick any card, but then they kind of direct you to which card.
Exactly. And for me, what's crazy, Deuce, is just how these few people are dictating how you feel, how you behave, how you act. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way, if that makes sense, you know, where you think it's your own free will and the same. I think I'm picking a card that I want, but I'm not. I'm doing exactly what they want. It kind of pisses me off a little bit.
It's like the recommendations. I was thinking of when they said, you know, that they kind of shape how people think.
Yes.
So when they said that, I started thinking for myself, right? In terms of, you know, they spoke about the rabbit hole where, you know, they kind of calculate what type of video can, you know, send you down a rabbit hole. So for me, that's Gordon Ramsay. You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious.
I watch one clip of Kitchen Nightmares and it's over, right? Like, that's my next hour gone. I can't stop.
I'm with you.
And then they were talking about just, you know, elections and, you know, shaping people. And I thought of any like ideologies of like stuff that I'd, you know, I started watching a lot of, you know, I told you this, like, you know, right wing or conservative type of media, videos, yes. And yeah. You know, or like, you know, those what are they called? These videos,
prove,
man,
me I'm wrong,
say, gets destroyed.
Change,
you know, where they,
yes,
say,
oh yes,
whatever,
Ben Shapiro
destroys
black
yeah.
Matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I started watching like so many of those, and then, you know, my recommendations are just flooded by that. And then, so that, you know, so that ended up kind of shifting my opinion, right? And I realized this when I spoke to you a few months ago.
Yeah.
And then that's when I realized, I was like, flip, I'm literally actually, you know, all I'm consuming is this and not the other side.
For sure.
And
for sure.
That's obviously affecting my,
your
not
viewpoint,
like,
right?
Yeah, my viewpoint is getting biased in a way.
So
I realized,
yeah, note,
it's real. Yeah.
On that note, right, it's what scared me with the documentary, and it's a great point that you raise, where they said the algorithm wants to show you not what's true, but what you want to see. So it doesn't care whether the right or left is wrong. It just cares that you enjoy seeing it, because what you enjoy, you will watch. And when you're watching, we can advertise.
Yeah.
And smart. I really try and keep, what's the word? With especially with politics, I always try and watch both sides, but it's difficult because, like you said, the algorithm sways you in one direction. So, for example, I like Ben Shapiro. I like watching Ben Shapiro. Don't like him, but I like watching him. Mm. And a lot of my stuff, I get those same recommendations that you do, Louder with Crowder and Ben Shapiro and Black Lives Matter gets destroyed and all of that, man. It's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The Kyrie Irving thing, it was funny when they showed him, his story. And that was hilarious. So for people who don't know, there's a basketball player who was really, really good. And he ended up thinking that the world was flat because he went down a rabbit hole on YouTube. And this is the exact point that, you know, I think you're making, Glenn, where it's not about what's right, it's about what you want to see.
What you want to see, yeah.
Which is why, you know what it also made me think about? Another thing that scared me is when they said they monitor how long you look at a particular photo for.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, occasionally on Instagram, I'll look at a few baddies, you know, on the gram. But there's too many of them in my explore page, you know, and that always annoys me. That always annoys
me. Yeah, that explore page is wild. Yeah.
And there's always something, you know, I don't know if this has happened to you. I'll want to search something specific and then I'll see that explore page and I forget. 10 seconds
later,
I don't remember why I was there. Has that happened to you as well?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, absolutely.
And then that can't be, they know that. They know that they're doing that. And for me, that just seems so manipulative. Why is the search bar not, you know, on its own tab, a blank page with nothing but a search bar? That's all I need.
Dude, what was it? Was it like that, you know, back in the day, like 6 years ago?
Oh, no, I don't know. No,
I never used to use the explore page at all.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
And I actually used to think, I was like, this is such a dumb page. Like, why would I want this?
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
but now it's such an integral part of Instagram.
And you can spend a minute on it.
Yeah. Because you click on a picture and you can keep scrolling, right? It's not just a static picture.
Oh.
You can keep scrolling and kind of, you know, discover stuff on you know, similar to the picture you just clicked
For
on.
For sure. Or you end up, or if it's not that, you end up on someone's profile and looking and looking.
Someone's profile, looking. Yeah, you're there.
I don't even care about this person. But here I am, like, just scrolling through their page. It's weird. And you know what's another thing that's strange about it is I've heard people who I really think should be happy about where they are in life say, yeah, I go on social media and I don't feel happy about where I am in life. And I think to myself, you're not happy? Does that make sense? And I don't know if that's by design or not. I'm not going to give them that much credit. I don't think that's by design. I think that's more an after effect of everything. But just feeling like, you know, your life is crap or the need to share. Jeez.
Dude, you know what the funny thing is? So I was watching this thing, right? And when they were talking about affecting people, because of what she just said, where someone would be like, ah, this person is living the life. You know, sure. I wish that was me.
Yes.
You know what got into my head instantly?
Mm-hmm.
You know the picture I just posted? The one on the jet ski?
Yes.
All right? So I was thinking, if I'm not me and I'm looking at that picture, what am I thinking? Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, I would probably think this guy is, you know, living it up. He's the man. He's killing it in Dubai. These things, right? Especially with the picture behind that hotel, that famous hotel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, while I'm in the ocean and whatever. And then I was like, but what's the reality? And then I was thinking, don't have a job in Dubai, you know, living with my bro.
Yeah, it's just come up. You're on the come up.
I'm like, how's,
yeah.
Yeah, but that's the real life, right?
Mm.
But it's not what it looks like in the picture that someone would assume, right?
Because
I got a few comments like, yo, ah, you're killing it, or no, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm thinking,
for sure.
not quite, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But that's what it does. So that's social media, like, in a nutshell right there, where
and
I was like, damn.
And on that note, do you remember in the documentary they said that after you make a post, you're left with a sense of guilt and more emptiness? And that's exactly what you... I'm not saying it was that deep, but when you see comments like that, you kind of... You feel torn when you're like, yo, I was just sharing my day and now I'm feeling kind of...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
On that note, you know, you were talking about like the jet ski and how you posted stuff after the jet ski. I noticed I always have the strongest urge to post, right? And I always fight it. But I always have the strongest urge to post after I've exercised this year. I noticed. Right?
Okay.
But I never did, right? I mean, I never like would do like the after workout selfie or whatever. But I noticed that my urge was strong, and I thought, why? When I'm working out, you get a release of dopamine and you feel good, you know, and the endorphins are rushing through you. And now I'm on a high, and from the workout, of course, you know, feeling good. Maybe you just did a set of whatever, bench presses, whatever. Now you're feeling good and you want more. And I thought to myself, where's the other place I can get it? Because now I've exercised. I can only exercise so much. Where am I going to get another shot of this high? And
you need more of that.
I need more of that. So let me go get some likes. And it made me think. That's why you'll notice, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the after gym selfie is a huge thing. And I think it was very similar to your jet ski moment. Jet ski, adrenaline, on a high, but we need more.
Yeah.
And there's a perfect place where you can get supply. And a couple of likes will just keep it, you know, going a little bit higher, because you can only ride the jet ski for so long. And, you know, I think you get my point. Mm. And I always fight it because I'm always say to myself, like, no, I know exactly what this is. But no one's posting when they just wake up, right? Or, you know, it's when they're grinding or when it's, you know, really tough. You'll also find people study, like, will post when they... Do you remember those studying posts?
Yes.
Do you remember those?
In the library. Like,
Yeah, the library or whatever.
Especially late nights alone in the library. That's the one right there.
For sure. Because, yo, I'm alone. I'm in the library. I need a dose. This yep. cup of coffee's running dry. The Red Bull's running out. Let me get some more. A few notifications. Could put it in a box, man. Also, okay, another question, Glenn. You know, a lot of people will argue, yeah, but I needed to stay in touch. And what's another reason people give as to why we're on these things? Marketing for social myself. Media. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, marketing. Like, what would I say? I would say for my podcast, for sure. What else would I say? Entertainment, I guess. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but they became this thing where apparently, like, being on social media, and I don't think this is an accident, but being on social media was important to your brand or your startup or your personal image. I don't take your pick, right? Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking about a couple of really famous people, and I thought to myself, well, they're on Instagram. People that I admire or creatives that I admire. And I thought to myself, I'll just start with music. Kendrick Lamar. I think someone's running it for him. He posts maybe once a year. J. Cole, same thing. Daft Punk, you're not going to catch them on the socials. Even actors, you know. I watched Tenet this past week, and I was like, yo, let me go look at Washington's Instagram post. Last time he posted was in June. He's not posted anything since the film came out. This is an actor of a blockbuster movie. And he's not on Instagram. And I thought to myself, if he, you know, does this, because he's in the business of marketing himself in a whole film. He's not online. So why am I on it? That was one of the reasons why I thought, I think I'm just here for fun. I can lie to myself about all those other things. I'm just here for fun, to be real with you. Because people are marketing their products and their art without it. They maybe have someone running it, and they'll post it so that people can see. But I don't know if Jay-Z's on this stuff, you know?
But like the Jay-Z's, they kind of built their brand pre all this. Let's look for an example of someone who kind of started, you know, this music thing, let's say 2016 or something.
Right? Good point. Good point.
Like, take this for, what would Tekashi be without social media?
Yeah, but Tekashi's nowhere right now. Even after his album flopped terribly. You know, he's running out of steam. He's running out of steam.
Yeah, that's because he sucks. But but if you look at, just in general, he'd be nothing, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Is Logic big on social media? He's quite huge.
Logic.
Yeah.
You
can maybe check.
I guess SoundCloud doesn't count, right?
For sure.
Doesn't count as a social. It's not really a social media thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then, it's definitely
possible. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, and even if I do argue that, I would also argue, when's the last time I found an Instagram an artist on social media? I can't give you one.
Actually, you're right. No.
Yeah, I've not
besides
found
Tekashi.
One artist. Yeah,
and Tekashi.
Yeah, and Tekashi was the shenanigans and hearing about him on all the hip hop blogs and whatever. But I have not gone on Instagram and logged off and been like, yo, I just found this dope rapper on Instagram. You know?
What about a business?
Same.
Holy shit. Know.
Same. And what's crazy
Holy
is...
Holy shit, Easy.
We just cracked the code. And you know what's so funny, Glenn? Is that all these businesses... Oh, wait. I might be lying. Let me think. I'm trying to think. Pineapple is a startup. Oh, okay, let me just say there's no business that I've actually used. I think it differs for some people.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen some and I'm like, yo, that's cool. So I don't think we're, the sample size is quite small between the two of us. But with music, I think I'm quite confident. The business one, I think you're onto something though. I think you're onto something. But most of the time that I use a business is like a hardcore recommendation from a friend. It's word of mouth. Yeah. Or I actually need the service and then I'll Google it.
Although I will say, I have listened to a podcast because of Instagram. I'll give
for Instagram sure
that one.
Yeah, products I've looked at. Products, yeah, I think you're onto something. And products,
yeah,
products for sure. Yeah. But you know what's interesting is we're talking about how it's very rare for us to find an artist or a business, what have you, on social media. But how many businesses are paying for adverts on these platforms? Tons. Because all of them have read a blog about starting their business and it talks about social media presence. And now they're all paying for adverts. And these platforms are making a killing. It's a double whammy. They're just winning.
I guess an interesting one, though, is, you know, repetitive marketing, right? So there's I'm sure you've seen it, especially you work out. There's a guy called Vishred. You know him?
Vishred, I do.
The guy who talks about the three body types.
Yeah.
Lacto, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he's kind of old-looking, right? But he's really, really, really cut, right?
Yeah,
that guy. Yeah, and he doesn't come up on my feed a lot, though.
Oh, he doesn't?
Yeah, my feed shows me
mine so much.
Yeah, no, my feed shows me like tanks, like huge guys. Because I follow, there's one guy I follow who's quite bigger than Vishred. So all the fitness guys that come up for me are these like freaks of nature, a bit bigger than him. But yeah, continue.
That is interesting.
Because yeah, I don't get him on my feed.
I actually didn't tell you. I haven't told people, but I actually started working out, right?
Okay.
And because I was getting fat. So I started working out. But, you know, I know you do weight training, right?
Yes.
I don't do weight training. So I do the kind of thing Vishred would do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is, you know, the whole, you know, burpees and all that rubbish, right? Press ups, whatnot.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why he comes up more on mine. And then for you, you get tanks.
Yeah, I'm getting these monsters who just... Uh-oh. And the thing is, it's not because I like their content. It's I will look at one guy and I'll be like, God damn, this guy is a tank. And next thing, I'm just searching for something. I'm like, oh, let me go DM Glenn. And then I'm searching you. And then, oh, they show me another guy. And then I look. And then before I know it, my explore page is filled with them. It's very, very different. Like,
dude, I've been seeing Vishred for, I swear, 2 years. Like, I'm not even lying. Yeah, 2 years.
I'm not seeing him.
And then now, at all. And then I finally downloaded his app. I haven't used it, but I downloaded it.
So right? I guess it does and work in that case, right?
Yeah, but it has to be, like I said, if he had stopped doing it.
Sure.
Because there's a, and they even said it, right? It's the same thing with the whole recommendations and all. Like, the more you watch something, the more you believe it, right?
Yes.
So there's even an African proverb in Zim, which says in Shana, "Kudzamwana upedzisira," which means if you tell a kid once, that kid is gonna forget, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you need to tell the kid, oh, "Hey, don't play with fire! Don't play with fire! Don't play with fire!" Or pick up those toys. You need to, you know, you tell them all the time, and then it kind of registers.
Yes.
So the more they show you the same thing, that's the crucial thing. Then the marketing works. But if you show me once, and then you show me another thing once, nothing's gonna stick.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think on that point, you were talking about how you downloaded it, because it's a lot just to take in. I'm gonna start at the beginning where you downloaded Vishred's app. Right.
Yeah.
I will say, the people who have won the most from that algorithm, with me personally, are content creators, not businesses, not artists. The people who have benefited from these algorithms are content creators. So there's a couple of people that I'm subscribed to on YouTube, and who else? And a couple of people on Instagram. Those are the biggest winners from the algorithm, at least for me. And I think even with you, it sounds like it's similar, right? V-Shred won. You got his app, right?
Yep.
But you can't tell me a business.
And followed him on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
I followed him after 2 years, easy, of seeing him. And then I was like, okay, fine, I'll follow you.
Yeah, for sure. There's a guy I follow called Simeon Panda. He came up on an algorithm. And I just liked the guy. And I was like, okay, you're pretty cool. And now I'm following him on Instagram. And now he's all over my feed. But business or a mock product, no. And then on the note you said about seeing something over and over and over again, it's so true, because eventually you just say to yourself, I might as well follow. I might as well get the app. Why not? And they know that.
Yeah.
Last note on this whole thing. You mentioned something. It'll come back to me. But another point that I wanted to make was Wikipedia, and I think they spoke about it in the documentary. Wikipedia
that was a great analogy.
It never felt addictive for me. I never felt addicted to
Wikipedia.
That
was a great example they gave.
And I found myself going back to Wikipedia over and over and over again. So over years, I've been using Wikipedia for years, but I don't have an urge, you know, for it. Oh, man.
Like, flip, I need to read about something else.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
Or when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I go on is it's not Wikipedia.
Because it's not tailored.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
it's,
where does...
It's just what it is.
Yeah, so closing out now, Glenn, where does this leave us, bro? Do we quit these things? I feel trapped. I really do, because I'm scared to just delete all my accounts. For real. Not even joking. I've thought about it, but then a part of me is then like, now what?
Yeah.
But I do find when I'm when I'm at my happiest, Glenn, I'm not on those platforms. I'm off it. You know.
Yeah, so. I'm with you, man. Like when I lost WhatsApp, it was beautiful.
Sure.
But now that I'm working from home, I'm actually on my phone a lot more. Than before.
Me too.
Which isn't great.
Me too.
You know.
Me too.
For me in the office, YouTube. there's an element of shame, right? Of being on your phone.
Yes. Yes. But, yes.
At home, no one's gonna shame you.
For sure. For me, it's YouTube. YouTube is my drug right now.
Yeah, YouTube, dude. Oof.
And
it's funny how on YouTube you don't see the stuff you actually subscribe to. Most of the videos are recommendations.
Yes. That is so true. Yeah. That is so true.
That's why content creators, were complaining. They're saying, look, people are subscribing to us, but they're not seeing it. That's why they always say, click on the bell or, for notifications.
Oh, man. They're fighting the algorithm, video. Huh?
Yeah. That's what they're doing.
They're fighting the
algorithm. So it's because they... they don't care about the content creator. They care about you watching more videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. All I know is, okay, the last thing before we close out, what are you doing for your kids? Once you have kids, what's your plan?
Until 16, for sure. And I'm going to have 16. Proper coaching about it. Like
in terms of having a phone or so being on social media?
Being on social media.
Okay, so they'll have a phone.
I'll see. It depends on how much they need it. I'm going to monitor that for sure.
Because what did we do when we didn't have phones? Okay, I was at boarding school. You were a day scholar, right?
I think we were the first generation to be stuffed up by that. I've had a phone since I was 12.
12, okay. Mm. Okay, I only got mine, but I was also at boarding school, so... I got mine a bit. I was actually 15 when I got mine.
But they weren't as addictive. All I could do on it was play music.
No, they weren't. There was no social media.
Yeah, all I could do was play music and then a couple of games that could grab my attention for 20 minutes tops.
Actually, my phone was a brick. So all I could do was text my mom or call. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. So it was pretty chilled.
No.
Maybe that's what you need to do.
Yeah. Last note, man. It's just before we close out, I just noticed you were talking about how, I don't know how it is, but like I just thought about like the last time I saw you. And actually, most times when you visit, you know, I don't find that we're on our phones, you know, a lot. Either catching up or recording a podcast or playing 2K or something, you know, or stepping out. When I visit Sophia, I think the only time where I'm on my phone is like when we're not together. But when we're actually like together, spending time with each other, I have no desire to be on the gram or what have you.
Yeah.
So my strategy going forward is to just find those things in my life that replace that craving, because this stuff is dangerous, Glenn. You're gonna get us.
Yep.
Yeah, that's my closing remark on all of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, moral of the story is, yeah, we're in big trouble. We're gonna need to find a way of just curbing it or controlling it, just, you know, grabbing control of the narrative. For all those who want to actually watch it, it's on Netflix. It's called The Social Dilemma. That's probably going to be the topic or the heading title of this episode anyway. So
that should, I think, be it should be Delete find. Social Media. Gotta get that clickbait in there.
Delete social media.
Delete social media.
Got you. So thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it as always. The amateur army marches on, and these are amateur opinions. Oh yeah, by the way, just, you know, as usual, like, subscribe, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that. These are amateur opinions. If you like them, you can take them. If you don't, you can leave them. Peace.
All right. Peace.